You wake up and feel a flutter of excitement because you've got some special plans. It won't be another boring day for you. You hear a toot toot of a horn and look out of your window to see a sleek and shiny sports car waiting outside. It looks like a car from the movies. The top is down and leaning against the door is a good-looking driver who looks at you and smiles. With a sweeping gesture, they open the passenger door and you feel a fizz of anticipation. You can feel yourself being called to come out and play. You're so excited that it only takes a matter of minutes for you to get ready, and you step out into the bright sunshine. The sky is brilliantly blue, with big white puffy clouds floating above you like candy floss. The sun is warm, and you take in a deep breath of the fresh air. You take your sunglasses out of your bag and put them on. If you're going to be chauffeur-driven, you have to look the part. Today is all about feeling like a superstar. The driver holds your door open and you slip into the passenger seat, feeling supported in the most comfortable leather seat you've ever sat in. The door closes with a gentle thump and you are safely cocooned in the small space. You breathe in the new car smell, a mixture of leather, polish and pine, with a hint of something you can't quite put your finger on. Then you realise what it is. Money. It's the smell of luxury and expense, a smell you decide to wallow in. You can sense it soaking into your skin, and you feel like you're instantly becoming chicer and richer just by being there. You could definitely get used to this. The driver climbs in beside you and starts the engine, which comes to life with a roar. The throaty growl sends goosebumps across your skin, and you can feel excitement building in the few seconds before they gun the engine and the car slips out onto the road. With grace and ease, the driver slides in and out of the traffic, avoiding the other cars and pedestrians. You notice lots of envious glances from both men and women. You can't help grinning and attempted to give them a little wave. The car really comes to life as soon as it hits the open country roads and heads away from civilization. The hedges, fields and trees whiz by you in a green blur, but you don't realize how fast you're going until you glance at the speedometer and your heart gives a lurch as the needle moves further and further round the dial. You glance quickly at the driver who is sitting casually, obviously very confident and talented by the way they handle every curve and bend with grace, barely changing speed as you navigate through the countryside. You realise you feel completely safe and relaxed. The wind blows past you, buffeting your face and tearing at your clothes, but it makes you feel exhilarated and you laugh at the sheer joy of being there. You have no idea where you're going, but you hope you don't get there too soon. Closing your eyes, you enjoy the feeling of warmth from the sun as it shines down upon you. All sense of time and motion fades away as you enjoy the feeling of the sun and wind. It's not until you pass into the cooler, dark shade that you open your eyes and look around you. You see that you have entered a tree-lined avenue and the car's tyres send up a small shower of gravel as you zoom up it. Ahead of you, you can make out the shape of a building. But it's not until you drive past the last two trees and re-emerge into the sunshine that you can take in the magnificent house that awaits you. You've reached your destination. Leaning back in your seat, your eyes move from side to side, trying to take in the huge stately home. The beautiful square-looking building is incredibly grand. The creamy white stone and sharp lines give it a dramatic elegance, and the balcony and pillars remind you of Buckingham Palace. The driver pulls the car to a stop just outside the front entrance and jumps out to open your door. You climb out. You need to stretch after the small interior of the car. A figure rounds the corner of the house and you see it's Claire. She waves and hurries to greet you. You made it. Did you enjoy the journey? That car is amazing. Very dashing. I'm so pleased you're here. I've got lots planned for us today. Come with me. The rest of the party guests are waiting. You expect to go inside, but Claire turns and heads back around the corner. You follow, crunching your way over the deep gravel. As you round the side of the building, your attention is caught by the beautiful green expanse to your left. The perfect manicured lawn of smooth grass stretches for acres in front of you. It's like a sea of green, punctuated by stunning bursts of colour from the glorious flower beds. A little way off, you can just make out a group of people, what look like brightly coloured balloons attached to a big black net, similar to a giant tennis net. Your curiosity has been roused, and you look to Claire for answers. She smiles mischievously. Since today is Valentine's Day, famous for its cheeky cherubs, we're going to be learning some archery. You're going to be shown how to shoot using a bow and arrow. You look at her with a look of slightly stunned amazement. Archery? A bow and arrow? Have you suddenly been transported back in time? Visions of Robin Hood, green costumes and men in tights flash before your eyes. I can understand your hesitation. It seems rather medieval. And yes, it may have been done for 10,000 years, but it is still really popular all over the world. Archery was first used for hunting, but is now mainly done for sport and has been a regular at the Olympics since 1972. It's a challenge, but it's fun to do. Come on, let's go and join the others. You both head down the smooth white stone steps and stride out across the soft, springy grass towards the other party guests. As you get closer, you see that they are lined up in front of a row of round targets, watching as a man demonstrates what to do. You and Claire find a space to stand and watch the archer. In the man's hand is a long, curving wooden bow. He draws back the string, and it looks like something out of Robin Hood. Suddenly, you hear a gentle hiss and then a thud. Looking at the target, you see that an arrow has appeared, as if by magic, sticking out of the yellow central circle. The man lowers the bow and then turns to you with a smile. Hi, I'm Rob. Today you are going to be learning some archery. I'll be showing you how to shoot using a bow and arrow. It takes practice, but we've got all day and have lots of targets to shoot at. I'll be coming round to help each of you, but for now, just watch as I take another shot. Rob raises the bow up and points towards the targets. There are two rows, one about 9 metres or 10 yards away, the other is 35 metres away, that's about 40 yards. Behind them is a huge black net which towers above you. This is to catch any stray arrows. Rob stands side on to the target, with his feet spread shoulder width apart. In one swift, smooth motion, he takes an arrow and places it against the bow, resting it on his hand. You hear it click onto the string. He places the arrow between his fingers, with two below and one above. He draws back the string while slowly raising the bow up. With a twang, he releases the string, and you watch as the arrow arcs down towards the furthest targets. It lands with a faint thump in the centre of a yellow circle. You draw in a sharp breath at his display of talent, and everybody claps. It looks impressive, Rob agrees, but that's just a basic shot. You should see what people do in competitions. Now it's your turn. First you get to choose your target for today. There's a standard circle target with the traditional brightly coloured rings. The outer ring is black and within that is a smaller blue one, then a red one, and the smallest area at the centre of the circle is yellow, which is called gold. The aim is to get your arrow as close to the gold centre as possible. The closer you get, the more points you get. We've also got a few other options for target practice today. If you've got a letter, maybe a horrible form or even an old bill, you can use that and shoot at it to your heart's content. It can be extremely therapeutic. The choice is yours. You consider your options carefully. The standard target does look classic, but there are a few old documents that have brought you nothing but stress that you would happily shoot. You look round you at the other guests, and seeing that they're going for a range of different targets, you make your choice. You tell Rob which you feel like. Great, now we can put it up on the boss. That's what we call the target stand. You all follow him down to the first row of targets, and each person attaches their target to their boss. As you get closer, you realise that it's just a round disc made of straw. When you walk back to the start, you can still see your target clearly from where you are. It doesn't seem that far away, but you're guessing it won't be as easy as it looks. Rob walks back to you. Now the target's up, we need to get you equipped with your bow and arrows. First, you'll need to put on a wrist guard called a bracer, just to protect the arm that holds the bow from getting pinged by the string when it comes flying back. Otherwise, you can end up with a big bruise. He hands you a curved piece of strong leather with straps on and helps you to fasten it onto your non-dominant hand, the one that will hold the bow. He then gives you a small piece of leather with two holes in it. You'll also need a finger tab to help you grip the string, he explains. This is to slip over the two inner fingers of your writing hand. You can feel the smooth, supple material against the palm of your hand. It feels beautifully soft. You're all set. Now we need to work on your stance, Rob says. You copy the way he stands side on, your body facing away from the target, but your arms, feet and head turned towards it. Rob then hands you the bow, and you can feel the perfect balance as it swings slightly, and then comes to rest in a long, straight, vertical line in front of you. You increase your grip, and Rob hands you an arrow. Hold the arrow between your index finger and middle finger. Can you see there's a little notch on the arrow? That's called the nock, and you pull the nock onto the string. You do as he says, and the arrow clicks into place. Now, rest the arrow on your hand and against the bow. You fumble with the arrow, trying to get it to stay where you want it, and Rob leans over and helps you to adjust it. Now it sits comfortably, braced against your hand and the bow. That's great. Now I want you to take a deep breath, and as you do, pull the string straight back towards you. Keep pulling until the string touches your nose and your hand touches your jaw. Then hold it while you sight on the target. Concentrating hard, you do as Rob instructs. Taking a long, slow breath, you pull the taut string back. You feel your muscles working in your arms and across your chest and back, but you keep pulling until you can feel the cool string, which is actually more like a wire, against your nose. The arrow is at eye level, and you can look past it to the target in front of you. Now, look along the arrow and focus on where on the target you want to hit. Concentrate on the centre of the target, and then open the fingers holding the string. Your back hand should stay where it is, or let it move back past your ear. Make sure you open the hand holding the string. It's tempting to release the one holding the bow, or both hands altogether, and you end up dropping the lot. You take another deep breath and look along the arrow to the target. You can see the exact spot you want to hit, and in your mind's eye, you can visualize the arrow going into your target. You open your hand in a quick motion, and the string springs forward, launching the arrow from the bow. It moves really fast. Blink and you'll miss it. But within a second, you hear the thud and can see the long, thin arrow sticking out of the target. It's only just on the piece of paper, not where you were aiming for, but at least you hit the target. Claire lets out a cheer, and you look across to see that she has also hit the target. But like you, it's only just. She turns to you and gives you a high five. Congratulations, Rob says, and you can tell he's pleased. Not bad for a first attempt. Have another go. He hands you another arrow, and you follow the same process. This time, aim slightly more to the right of the target instead of at the centre. It will help to counteract the breeze. You do as Rob has said, pulling back the arrow and then aiming it at a slightly different position. You feel the tension in your muscles and the taut bow. Again, you release the arrow, but ignoring its progress, you're already searching the target to see where it'll land. It's slightly nearer the centre, and you grin at your obvious progress. To get good shooting results, you have to learn excellent body-eye coordination. It means that you can perform identical movements when drawing the string. It's all about precision, and practice, lots and lots of practice, Rob explains. Feeling slightly addicted, you can't wait for Rob to hand you the next arrow. But this time, the arrow goes too wide and sails high in the air and misses the target completely. That's okay, Rob says reassuringly. That's why we have the big net behind the targets, to catch any stray arrows. Most people miss the target completely to start off with, so you're doing really well. I'm going to go and see how everyone else is doing. You can help yourself to the rest of the arrows in your stand. You've got 9 more arrows, and you systematically work through them. Sometimes you hit the target, and other times you miss altogether. It takes a lot of concentration, and you can feel your body working with muscles you didn't even know you had. There's a real sense of satisfaction when the arrows do hit the target, especially as they get closer and closer to the centre of the paper. You realise you're grinning from ear to ear. It's a lot of fun. When the arrows are all gone, you look up and see that a couple of people are shooting their final arrows, and the rest are waiting to go down and check their targets. Once that last arrow has landed with a thud in the target, Rob says, "Come on, let's go and see your targets and retrieve the arrows." As you get closer, you can see that the ones that hit the target are fairly spread out. Several arrows are missing, but a couple are close to the centre. You hold onto an arrow and, as Rob instructs, pull it straight out of the target. Once you've removed them all, you can take your target off the boss. You hold the piece of paper up to the light and can see all the round holes punched into the paper. They're about the size of a round pencil, and the target looks holy, like Swiss cheese. "Do you fancy shooting some balloons now?" Rob asks you all, gesturing to a large bunch of balloons tied to a weight at the side of the range. These were the balloons you'd noticed when you arrived. "We've got lots of colours, shapes and sizes, so choose the ones you want," Rob says as he unties some of the bright rainbow coloured balloons from the bunch and brings them across. Everybody makes a selection, some picking bright red hearts, others sticking to one colour only, and some choosing a rainbow selection. You make your choice and Rob hands you the strings. You can feel them tugging, trying to get away, and for a second you feel a slight pang that they are going to be used for target practice. No one else seems too worried though. They're busy attaching their balloons to their boss. You watch the balloons bobbing in the light breeze. They look very cheery and oblivious to the sudden pop to come. You attach your own balloons and then head back to where you started. You pick up the bow again and then retake your stance. Balancing the arrow and drawing the bow back is much easier this time. You're definitely getting the hang of it. Sighting on the balloons in the centre of the target, you focus, aim and fire. You hear the bang before you see the balloon vanish. It's almost too quick to see. You can just make out the remnants of the rubber hanging from where the arrow sticks out of the target. You let out a little cheer. A succession of bangs makes it clear that others have been equally successful. The next arrow looks like it's going to be spot on, but the breeze blows the balloon to the side and the arrow lands where the balloon was just seconds before. You sigh with frustration before taking aim again. This time you hit the balloon with a satisfying pop. "This is so much fun," Claire says, lowering her bow. "You're doing really well. Not that I'm volunteering to stand with an apple on my head for you, at least not yet." You can keep practicing for as long as you want. There are more balloons to shoot at, as well as a stack of targets. When you've had enough, let me know, as we've got another treat in store. Eventually, your arms begin to tire, and you think you're ready for a rest. You put the bow down and turn to look for Claire.